G'day, my name is Ross, and welcome to the second session of Discipleship. In the context, we're learning about our way in the world, how God created us to be in this world. In our first session, we looked at purpose, that all of us are created with a purpose, with some orientation drawing somewhere, to grow into something, to become someone. And we said that purpose, for our purpose here in this session, is divided into two parts. Being, becoming someone from which flows our doing. And obviously our doing as a feedback, it shapes us, it informs who we are becoming and how we are becoming. We're learning from our activities in this world. But being takes priority, that to become, to imitate Christ is a priority. Now, today we will introduce the second part. If we say that the most important thing for us is to become like God, the Latin word, the imago Dei, to take on the nature, to conform to the likeness of Christ, that our restoration in this world has to do with our image being restored to the image of God, that which Adam had, that we cast the same shadow as God in this world. Then we say there's a second part as well to discipleship, to our purpose. And that is what we in Latin refer to as the missio Dei, the mission of God. We are invited to participate with God's mission on this on earth. We are invited to reign with him and to bring his peaceful, just reign to this earth, to participate in the work of the kingdom, or other word, the work of discipleship. We are invited to become fellow workers with Jesus. And we can see that in the Gospels. We can see that in the Gospels, Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom, and then he invited them to participate in the teaching and the demonstration of the kingdom. It's always inherent to what we have. I'm just going to pause for a moment so we can notice something. You will notice in the Bible that if you search the word disciple, disciples, discipleship in the Bible, the word discipleship does not occur, but disciples occurs in many forms, but they are just in the Gospels and a few instances in the book of Acts. And Paul never wrote about it. John in his letters never wrote about it. Peter never wrote about it. We don't see it in the book of Revelation. We don't see it in any of those letters or books. We just see of it in the Gospels. But there's a term which will help us today to understand what the urgency of discipleship is, and that is the term imitation. When Paul, when Peter, when James, when Jude wrote about discipleship, they wrote about the word imitation in many forms. I mean, we know the scripture that says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul writes to Timothy, what you've seen in me, what you've heard from me, teach these things also to others that they may teach others as well. Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote and he said, everything that I've taught you, do these things, and then the peace of God will reign in your heart. So it's the concept of imitation, and that's why imitation and discipleship together gives us a beautiful picture of what this purpose of ours is. It is to learn from, and it's not just cognitive learning, it's embodied learning, to learn how to live in this world. We can see that in the command of Jesus, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them how to obey. It's not just a cognitive knowledge. It is teach me your way of life. That's first century discipleship. Teach me your way of life, that I may live in the way in which you live, that I can live your life. It is possible for us, and we can see this in our own life and with other people. It's possible to be believers in God, even to be believers in Jesus' gift of salvation, but not be his disciples. And that is quite shocking. It is possible, we see that it's possible for us to believe what God has done for us and to trust him for our salvation, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, penance, forgiveness of sins, but to not be disciples of his. And what we mean is, it's possible to know about what he's done, but ignore his way of life and his teaching. And that leads to disaster. That's the story in the Bible where it says that a man builds a house. But unless you build according to my words, Jesus say, your house will crumble. Your house will crumble. Or in the sower who sows the seed, the parable, where it says that the seed was sown and the seed grew up, but quickly faded away because it had no root to be nourished. It speaks about a starting, a conversion that never flows into the life that Jesus speaks to. And when we speak about discipleship, when we speak about imitation, when he speaks about our imitation of Christ and participation in his mission, we know that it has to study Jesus, his way of life, and to follow it. And many times it means study an embodied witness of Jesus, someone else, another disciple, and follow it in his way. So let's look at Luke chapter 14. As we're paging to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 25 to 35, as we read from this text, I just want you to hear what we said now. It is very urgent for us to take on the stance of a learner when it comes to discipleship. And that's our problem. And especially if you're a bit of a mature person or a little bit older or self-wise person or someone who fights and clawed out your own way of life, we can see the problem that it's possible for you to come to Jesus, receive faith, and then to assume that you know how to live. But entry into the kingdom, every time we see in John chapter 3, is the image of a baby being born into the image who must be taught how to live in this new world. There's the assumption of learning, the urgency of learning. Take on the posture of a learner to learn from someone, Jesus and his representatives, to learn from someone how to live out this life in the kingdom. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. It's a terrifying text, but we know this well. Let's read from verse 25. Now a great crowd accompanied him. Jesus was famous. And he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and he does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, this one cannot be my disciple either. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it at all. All who see that he began will start to mock him, saying, this man began to build a tower and was not able to finish it. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down and first deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? The issue is costing, considering. And then he continues, and if not, while the other is yet a great way, sends off a delegation and asks him for terms of peace. So therefore, anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has, possessions, cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if its salt loses its taste, how shall it be restored? If it is of no use either for the soil, for manure, or for anything else, it's thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear, let him understand what the Spirit is saying.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
This text is a terrifying text. Anyone who's considered to follow Jesus, when you read that and you see the cost, you see the call, it's really disturbing. It's disturbing because many of us assume of Christianity, we assume that family values are important. We know that Jesus says we should honor our mother and father. And this text seems to call us to do something else. It seems as though we should renounce everything else. So what this text is about, it's about priority. It's about the urgency. And the center part teaches us, it's all about, do you consider the cost of becoming a follower of Jesus? Do you place him more important than anything else? And that's the question. And then he does three things. The first thing that Jesus teaches is about family. Now, if this is offensive to us in this century, where family bonds and family values are not as strong, where we're higher on individuality than we are on family, then you can consider, for the first century reader, this was hectic because family was all. Family was everything. Family was your legacy, your status in this world. It was your support structure. There was no pension fund or anything. Family was your business. Everything in life resolved around family and the bond and the loyalty to family. And Jesus says this. He says, if any man wants to come after me and your loyalty to your earthly family is more than it is to me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Consider the cost. Are you willing to follow me even if your whole family renounces you? Are you willing to do that? Because Jesus says, if you're not willing to do this, you haven't considered the cost. Then you're not ready to be my disciple. It speaks about an urgency. So he's saying that we should find our identity, our security, and our purpose in life in Christ, where it was located in the family, located in Christ. See if you're ready to make that transition. Then you're ready, Jesus says. And the second test, Jesus says, is obviously has to do with, are you willing, whoever does not bear his own cross? And it speaks about self-denial, the denial of comfort, of ambition, of your pursuit in this world. Jesus says, if you want to build yourself a life in this world, if you want to build yourself something in this world, Jesus says, you're not ready to be my disciple. Because this has to do with, are you willing to renounce your own ambition, your own comfort? And for the first century reader, to pick up your cross and carry him, they saw this. They saw this frequently around them, about a man sentenced to death in the cruelest way. So Jesus says, if you come after me, I want you to be so secure of where you're going to that you're willing to risk your life for it. Are you willing to risk your life? And so you can hear the urgency in the call of discipleship. And then the last one obviously has to do with your earthly possessions. For a man not willing to renounce all his possessions in this world, all his comforts, Jesus say, if you're not willing to let go of all those things. Now, in any of these instances, we can see in the first century teaching and the rest of Jesus' teaching that there were disciples who came to Jesus in their families, and Jesus did not ask them to renounce their families. Jesus did not ask everyone to die for him. Jesus didn't ask everyone to hand over or to release, renounce all their earthly possessions. We can see in the New Testament text, in the letters and in Acts, they were wealthy people. Jesus doesn't have a problem with money itself. Jesus has a problem with allegiance, with your urgency, your priority. Am I more important? Is your pursuit in me? Because Jesus is saying, if you're willing, again, the text that we read last week, to leave this whole world, to renounce this whole world and follow me, then Jesus says, you are worthy to be my disciple. So there's this call of urgency. And I'm looking at our generation and I'm wondering, do we have this urgency? Because Jesus constantly calls us into a world that is different, with different values that we used to have. It's a world that is different, where he is more important. And we'll look at that next week. What does that difference really look like? What is that difference in orientation? Why is the kingdom so much different? In this session, I want to ask you to review your passions, your allegiance, and your possessions in light of the call of discipleship, the urgency of leaving everything else, imitate me as I imitate Christ, Paul says, to walk after me, to learn to live from me, says Jesus, to become like me, and to participate in my mission, because the participation in my mission is the important. It's not written down specifically in this text, but in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is teaching here with all the crowds walking with him. He's teaching them while he is walking to Jerusalem, to the place where he himself would die. They don't know this. We know it in retrospect. And Jesus is saying, can you see what I'm doing? I have left everyone and everything to serve my Father. I'm going to pick up my cross and die. I've renounced all possessions in this life to follow. And Jesus saying, are you willing to do the same? If you are to become like me and participate in my mission, being and doing and participating in my purpose in life, then Jesus says, do the same. Are you willing to do the same? So as an exercise, I thought it'd be good for us to think about the blessings that we have received from God, the kingdom that we've inherited. In which way has following Jesus actually benefited you, blessed you? In which way? Because there are many blessings, and Jesus does teach that as well. In which way has following Jesus really, really blessed you? And then the question I want to ask you now is, what discomfort, what suffering, what pain, what change of mind did you have to endure to follow Jesus? What has following Jesus actually cost you? Are there instances? And I tell you, this is really encouraging to hear stories of people around us that have really suffered much for Jesus. And sometimes these are private things that we don't speak about, or things that happened many years ago that we live on and we continue. What has following Jesus actually cost you? And then I'd like you to think in your heart and to pray. How willing, and you can scale yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, just as an indication, it's just for yourself or your prayer life. How willing are you to let go of and think about, look at a photo of your mother, your father, your family members, the people around you. How willing are you to walk away from them to follow Jesus? Jesus is not asking you to do that now. I'm simply saying, how willing are you? Are you counting the cost? And secondly, think about your comfort and your purpose. Maybe you're studying, maybe you've done studying, maybe you've pursued your career for a long path and you're at the pinnacle of your career. How willing are you to let go of all those things to follow Jesus? And lastly, your possessions. Look at your possessions. And in most cities around the world, we know what poverty looks like around us. I want to ask you, in which way are you willing to let go of everything that you have, all your powers and resources, all your material things, to follow Jesus? And just take that to Jesus in prayer. Write down 5 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 1 out of 10, and pray to him about it and ask the Spirit to do his work in your heart, to say, God, I'm willing to believe. Will you help me believe? In the next session, we're going to look at our posture when it comes to discipleship. The first session, we looked at purpose. This session, we looked at priority. And the last session, we will look at posture, at our orientation towards discipleship. The main thing, the big thing. We're going to look at two big conversations of Jesus, the last conversations that he had, that he invites us into the heart of what discipleship actually is. I look forward to being with you again. God bless.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.